Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this evening is taken from the 20th chapter of Exodus, which has already been read. Did you know that Ted Koppel is still alive? And he's actually only 84 years old. You might remember him from his days at ABC News, but probably more people remember him from Nightline. That show, you may recall, began as a daily update on the Iran hostage crisis, 1979 to Inauguration Day, 1981. The show, Nightline, outlasted the crisis, and it became one of the few places before 24/7 news to get the day's news late at night and off the antenna. I remember him from that, Nightline, and for a quote, first quoted by me of him in 1996 about the Ten Commandments. And he said, "We have actually convinced ourselves that slogans save us. Shoot up if you must, but use a clean needle. Enjoy sex whenever and with whomever you wish, but be safe." No. The answer is no. Not because it isn't cool or smart, or because you might end up in jail or in an AIDS ward, but because it's wrong. Because it's wrong. In its purest form, truth is not a polite tap on the shoulder. It is a howling reproach. What Moses brought down from Mount Sinai were not the 10 suggestions. About the same time, Robert Bork, he got borked, you know, came out with a book entitled Slouching Toward Gomorrah. And this is the description given on Amazon. The rough beast that visionary poet Yeats foresaw in 1919 is now a full-grown monster of decadence, several generations deep. As a nation, we are pursuing a path toward Gomorrah. For you know what? Fast forward 30-something years, and things certainly haven't gotten any better, have they? Back in that same day, Ted Turner, CNN, his take was suggesting that we need a new set of commandments. Maybe the problem, he suggested, is that 10 is too many. Or maybe those 10 are just too cut and dried, too absolute. They sound too much like commandments. Maybe he said we need 7. Suggestions. So Robert Bork was a Presbyterian when he wrote Slouching. He's now Roman Catholic. Ted Koppel was Jewish. Ted Turner, well, at least he stopped calling Christianity a religion for losers. So there's that. You know, those 10 commandments, Martin Luther placed them first out of the 6 chief parts of Christian doctrine, the 6 basics, if not the most important teachings of the Christian religion. They surely are one of the oldest teachings, having been given to Israel more than 3,000 years ago. It was after Israel had crossed the Red Sea on their way to the Promised Land that God summoned Moses to come up on Mount Sinai. For 400 years, recall, they had been in Egypt. And after all that time, it's a wonder that any vestiges of the God revealed to Abraham and his religion remained at all. Christianity's like that. The triune God, the Christians in medieval Spain, endured several hundred years of being ruled by the religion of violence, and yet they remained and took back their country, Ferdinand and Isabella. Christians continue to persevere in places like Syria, Turkey, and the like. The mother of Moses, remember her name? I didn't either. Jochebed seems to have been a believer. Later on, when Abraham's God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush, Moses asked God, "Who are you?" Did Moses not know? Or was he confirming something he already knew about this God speaking to him? And that God told him, "I am." Hebrews call it Yahweh. KJV has Lord in capital letters. That's his name. And that God, you recall, showed himself to be very powerful. First the plagues, and then the crossing of the Red Sea. And I have heard the crossing referred to as Independence Day for Israel. Start of a new country in that crossing of the Red Sea. And it was right after that, God invited Moses up to that mountain. And Moses came down with tablets inscribed with those commandments. Very familiar to us, misunderstood, or not understood at all, perhaps unknown to an increasing number of Americans. It was the same with the Egyptians, their former masters. They had no clue about these Ten Commandments, whose culture had become largely theirs and their religion after 400 years. So, for Moses and Israel, what for most of us, the Ten Commandments, is very old hat, was for them, 10 new and some very odd ducks, those Ten Commandments. So we say that the two major teachers of the Bible are the law and the gospel. When we talk about the law, we're talking about the Ten Commandments. Might even talk about the two tables. The first table, the first three, deal with us and God specifically. Commandments 1, 2, and 3 tell us how we are to think about God. Second commandment, how we are to talk about God. And third, how we are to act towards God. That's the first table. The second table, 4 to 10, tells us how to treat our fellow human beings. And Jesus summarizes those two tables. He says, love God and love man. So that's the Ten Commandments. And what are they for? Why? What are they for? The Lutherans talk about, and we're not the only ones who talk about, three uses or functions of the law, three things that the law is there for. The first use of the law, which Paul tells us in Romans is in the heart of every man, serves as a curb. The law is a curb, to curb sin, to keep it in check. You know about curbs. There's one on the street up here in Grand Mount. There might be another one. Lots of them in DeWitt. A curb dissuades cars from going up onto the sidewalk. You can do it, drive off the road onto the sidewalk, but you know that you're not supposed to be doing that. Doesn't keep people from doing it, but it dramatically cuts down the number of cars on the sidewalk, the curb. Nor does the law, serving as a curb on all mankind, Christians as well, keep sin from taking place. It still does. But that law, in the heart of every man, cuts down on sin, makes the world a more tolerable place to live. That's the first use of the law, as a curb. The second use or function is called the theological use, to show us our sin. The law functions, secondly, as a mirror. You look into the Ten Commandments, and what do you find staring back at you? A person who maybe tries hard, maybe has good intentions. You see a sinner staring back at you in the mirror, in need of a Savior. And it's axiomatic among the Lutherans that the second use of the law is most important, and they like to say that the law always accuses. Some of these Lutherans are not nearly as fond of the third use of the law. In fact, I've heard some of them say that they reject the third use of the law, as if. The third way that God uses the law is as a guide to tell us how to live as his people. And looking at the context of God's giving the Ten Commandments to Moses, like I said, they were a new nation. And for most of them, it was going to be a new religion. And this, it's not complicated, these 10 things are how you are to live as my people. The law was presumably written in their hearts as well, but after 400 years of living in Egypt, the culture can blunt that law, perhaps drive it out completely. So this is how God wants you to live as his people. You shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And are you guilty of breaking the first commandment? Does that law accuse you? Have you put money, reputation, pleasure, family, self-interest ahead of God? Maybe even made them into gods. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you your sin. This is how God wants you to live as his people. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie, or deceive by his name, but call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. Are you guilty of breaking the second commandment? Is there any time you have used his holy name in any other way than to pray, praise, and give thanks? Maybe you even cursed or swore. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you your sin. This is how God wants you to live as his people. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching in his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. What other things do you place above and before coming here to hear this life-giving, faith-sustaining, get you through the weak word of God? And do you do it gladly here and learn it? In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you your sin. This is how God wants you to live as his people. Honor your father and your mother. What does this mean? We should fear and love God that we do not despise or anger our parents and masters and other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish. Have you ever disobeyed the various authorities God has placed over you? Parents, teachers, government? Broken any laws and the like, small or large? In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you your sin. This is how God wants you to live as his people. You shall not murder. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every bodily need. Hurting your neighbor in his body. To hate someone is to wish that person was dead. You just are looking for the opportunity. And Jesus, you may recall, said that the hater as well as the murderer is guilty before God. And do you always help your neighbor when you see him in need? In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you your sin. This is how God wants you to live as his people. You shall not commit adultery. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we lead a sexually pure and decent life in what we say and do. And husband and wife love and honor each other. If you have been unfaithful before or during marriage, or like Jesus also said, wanting to do that is to be guilty before God. And do you love and honor your spouse? And do you keep your marriage vows all the time? In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you your sins. This is how God wants you to live as his people. You shall not steal. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not take our neighbor's money or possessions or get them in any dishonest way, but help him to improve and protect his possessions and income. When you steal from your neighbor, no matter how small, or get something with a wink and a nod, deception, or when you neglect to help your neighbor whose property is being taken, that's a sin. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you your sin. This is how God wants you to live as his people. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not tell lies about our neighbor, betray him, slander him, hurt his reputation, but defend him, speak well of him, and explain everything in the kindest way. God does not want you to lie, especially about other people, especially when your intention is to harm that other person with the lie. He does want you to stick up for your neighbor, the one who's being lied about. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you your sin. This is how God wants you to live as his people. Use the gifts that God has given you in service to him and in your fellow man. Do not covet what other people have and be satisfied with the life and the gifts and vocations he has given to you. Don't lust after other people's lives. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you your sins. Well, maybe the Lutherans are onto something. Maybe the law always does accuse. So those Ten Commandments, you know, they're not just made up by man, and they are not just suggestions. They are indeed a howling reproach, and God is serious as a heart attack when it comes to his Ten Commandments. And when we have heard and been convicted of our sin by the law, then we're ready for the gospel, the good news. And God is serious about that as well. During the Lenten season, we recall, mark, and remember that Jesus suffered and died on the cross to pay for your sins, all of them. By his blood we have been cleansed in the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And God's serious about that as well. And we say in the Catechism that when you hear those words, that absolution is just as valid and certain even in heaven as if Christ our Lord dealt with us himself. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We continue with the canticle. We rise. Unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, Father in heaven, watch over Simon Matson, now afflicted with sickness. Mercifully spare the life you have given. Relieve his pain, guard him from all danger, and restore his health according to your gracious will, that he may be raised to a life of faithful service to you through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, in holy baptism, you began your good work in our catechumens, and you have blessed their instruction and training in your word. We implore you to pour out your Holy Spirit on their hearts and minds so that they will truly love and revere you, confess the faith with joy and boldness, endeavor to live according to your commandments, and praise and glorify you as their faithful God and Lord, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments. And also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thank you.
We were there last year for the first services. So yes. Then this year, when we were there for the first anniversary, wow. So,
yeah.
Then has a picture
of
community. Yeah,
this is vast, right?
I think it's 8 years. Because it's an eagle.
Is
that
swallow?
Or is
that
eagle?
They have about 30%
I think, you know, it's hard to tell because the first time it was there was the anniversary. So I think, good, I like that. That's what I'm all in. I think this something is where it said there's been 120 or 120. Christmas thing was the last day we were told mini golf.
No.
We'll finish it up with her. Clubs back. And who walks in but Beth and Chris Hansen? You know who they are? She's the organist at Leadorn. Oh,
wow.
Son plays baseball. And there's a baseball tournament going on that last week while we were there.
So, University of Minnesota State University was there, 40 kids out there in the, basketball tournament. I'm looking back across the football tournament and holy cow, is there a basketball camp going on there? So we're out there and they were throwing catch and then found out when we saw the uniforms there.
Which is, I thought it was a very odd time to have a baseball tournament. How have they been practicing to have a tournament?
No, they can spot them.
So we started at Rock Island in 73 in the gym, mm-hmm. ground balls.
Oh, yeah.
And the Ambrose Dome, that's a lot bigger.
Yes.
Pickleball,
yep.
You say.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know too much about it. It looks like it's awfully active.
It's a lot of fun.
I said, that's too fun.
No.
Still in the station, I guess.
transmission station. And you might be the first one. You
got
it's really here, right there. You can put selfie right there.
What is somebody talking about here?
male detention centers. And so George W. Bush had let him in. Barack Obama had let him in. Trump had let him in. And Joe Biden, they desperately didn't want people to see the kids in